RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Welcome to the news. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promises to build inward infrastructure. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds majority to protect minority. Singaporean Prime Minister Lee and President Joko Widodo to meet on Monday at Leaders' Retreat. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said while Indonesia has been focusing on physical infrastructure, the government will also work towards ensuring that the citizenry is mentally and emotionally strong. He called it inward infrastructure vis-a-vis the physical infrastructure. The president stated before thousands of people at a prayer event in Ancol, North Jakarta on Saturday that currently the government is focusing on physical development, but the inward infrastructure is also important to build. The president admitted that such inward infrastructure development is required as a foundation for developing sound and accomplished human resources in the country. Therefore, he appreciated all those who have been pursuing the goal of national character while the government was focusing on improving the physical infrastructure. He reiterated the importance of physical infrastructure development being carried out as part of the 5-year program of the government of Joko Widodo and Muhammad Yusuf Kalla. Under the leadership of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla, Indonesia has switched from the Java-centric development pattern and shift focus a more even development across Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that the majority community in Indonesia should protect minority groups, while the minority groups should respect the majority groups. He said while attending mass prayers on Saturday that the majority and minority must respect each other, otherwise they will not feel connected to each other. The president noted that such mutual respect will bring about peace in the country. He consulted that how beautiful is the sense of brotherhood is a pluralistic community since this is a gift from God Almighty to Indonesia. The president also cautioned that pluralism may become Indonesia's strength if the people manage it well as part of the framework of Indonesian unity and of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Many nations were torn apart because they failed to manage differences and disregarded pluralism. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong arrives in Indonesia on Sunday for his first leaders' retreat with President Joko Widodo, where they will discuss furthering economic collaboration between the two countries. The visit, which follows President Jokowi's state visit to Singapore in July last year, is in keeping with a long-held tradition of leaders from the two close neighbors meeting informally each year to boost ties. The Prime Minister's Office, or PMO, said in a statement today that both leaders will review the progress in bilateral relations, explore ways to deepen cooperation, and exchanged views on regional and international developments during the retreat, which officially begins tomorrow. Accompanying PM Lee are his wife Ho Ching and 9 political office holders, including Deputy Prime Minister and Coordinating Minister for National Security Teo Che Han, and the Ministers for Trade and Industry, Defense, Foreign Affairs, and Education, among others. Prime Minister Lee and President Joko Widodo will also witness the signing of 4 memorandums of understanding, including one of tourism cooperation between the Ministry of Trade and Industry and Indonesia's Tourism Ministry. President Joko Widodo expects that there will be no rally on November 25th against the alleged case of blasphemy involving the Jakarta governor, as it will only amount to waste of energy, he said while attending mass prayers at a convention in Antral Dreamland, North Jakarta on Saturday, that the government hopes there will be no more any other rally. Hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets in Jakarta on November 4th to protest against Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or Ahok for his allegedly blasphemous statement concerning the Holy Quran. The president said that November 4th demonstration was motivated by good intentions. He stressed that under the law, the people have the right to stage a rally to convey their views and aspirations. Yet the demonstrators must comply with the rules and are not allowed to indulge in anarchy. The president reiterated that he hopes there will be no longer any demonstration. Tourism Ministry and the National Tourism Administration of China have agreed to curb the tourism industry players which are not professional and prove harm the tourists. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said in a meeting with the chairman of the National Tourism Administration of China, Lin Jinzhao, at the China International Travel Market, which takes place from November 11 to 13 in Shanghai, that the tour operators and travel agencies that violate the commitment to the customer must be dealt with firmly because it will disturb and destroy the future of the tourism business. China's National Administration of Tourism has implemented a number of provisions to regulate the tourism industry, such as travel agents which are not professionals in providing services to tourists who traveled in China. Regarding the China international travel market, where Indonesia promotes 10 leading destinations including Yogyakarta, Solo, Semarang, and Raja Ampat, Minister Arif said that the event was to help the promotion of Indonesian tourism and attract more tourists to Indonesia. The last item, immigration personnel at the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport deferred 2 Moroccan women identified as FZE, 22 years old, and SEM, 21 years old, from entering Indonesia on Saturday, 12 November. Head of Public Relations and General Affairs of the Directorate General of Immigration of the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights, Heru Santoso, stated in a press release received on Saturday that both the women failed to show enough evidence of their intended to bear their cost of living. The 2 women hailing from Morocco who arrived on board the Emirates Airlines flight EK356 were being questioned by immigration officials about immigration-related documents. Harry further noted that both had claimed to have come as tourists for a 3-week stay in Indonesia but could not show enough evidence about the cost of living. Both also could not provide clear information as to what was their destination after having landed in Indonesia. That was News Over Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from Indonesian archipelago, which present a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news came from Surabaya, East Java. 3 researchers, namely an expert in archaeometallurgy, Professor Timbul Haryono, a nuclear expert from Batan, Professor Samin Prihatin, and a motivator from Surabaya, Johan Yan, have utilized nuclear technology to identify the authenticity of Objects of Cultural Heritage. Johan Yan, through the launch of a book on his research titled Mahanandi in Archaeometallurgy and Nuclear Technology Perspective at Tugu Pahlawan Surabaya on Thursday, said the research is the first in the world to use nuclear technology for identifying objects of cultural heritage. He explained to prove whether the object of cultural heritage is authentic or not can be done by attaching a device of nuclear technology to objects of cultural heritage. It only takes about 10 minutes to determine the metal composition of an object of cultural heritage, which can then be straight out or read via a computer screen. This method is much faster than the conventional ways that take weeks and even months to get results. The first research project conducted on Mahanandi, the bull statue dating from about the 9th century to 10th century AD, measuring about 30 centimeters and had been examined by CT scan, MRI, and nuclear technology. Next news comes from Rokan Hulu Riau. Hundreds of Rambah Rokan Hulu Riau people had the slaughtering of three kinds of chicken ritual to mark the beginning of rice planting season by farmers in 2016. Rimbo Hapar Farmers Group Chairman Anwar Dolai in Sukamaju Village, Rambah Sub-District, Rokan Hulu Riau, on Thursday said the ritual of slaughtering three kinds of chickens and goat is such a form of expression of gratitude by the farmers to the ruler of the nature. The ceremony is also a form of hope that in the next harvest season, farmers can get success. The latest news comes from Poso, Central Sulawesi. Poso District Government, together with a number of parties, inaugurated Tadu Lako Monument on Heroes Day celebration ceremony on November the 10th. Tadu Lako Monument, or its full name is Operation Tinombala 2016 Tadu Lako Monument, is a form of tribute to soldiers who died in Tinombala Operation 2016. It is a military operation that was held in an effort to hunt down Santoso terrorist group, which had taken quite a while to get the target. Tadu Lako Monument Obelisk is located in the middle of a residential area and was completed in October 2016. The monument was built 4 meters tall and 3 meters wide with pictures of 13 members of fallen military personnel. Commander of Regiment 132 Tadu Lako Palu, Infantry Colonel Saleh Muhammad Mustafa, appreciates the Poso government for building the monument. According to him, the name chosen by the government Tadu Lako together with the military as a symbol and care of all residents of Poso to the military personnel who died while performing the duty. Well, that was news from Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with November the 13th, 1970. Hurricane Bola struck East Pakistan and India, killing 500,000 people. The 1970 Bola cyclone is the deadliest tropical cyclone that attacked East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, and West Bengal of India on November the 12th, 1970. The cyclone is the deadliest tropical cyclone. More than 500,000 people were killed. The cyclone is a cyclone all six of the North Indian Ocean cyclone season 1970. This is the first natural event caused a civil war that the Bangladesh Liberation War, which ended with the formation of Bangladesh. Turning to November the 13th, 1985, the Nevado del Ruiz volcano erupts. Nevado del Ruiz is a stratovolcano in Colombia. This mountain is located in the most northern part of the Andean volcanic belt and stretches about 15 miles southeast of Manizales, the town of Amero in the valley near the mountain. It is the highest and most northern mountain in Colombia. The volcanic eruption in 1985 produced lava that buried Armero and caused the death of 23,000 people. The disaster is called the Tragedy of Armero. Nevado del Ruiz is called the Sleeping Lion by locals. Let's conclude today in history with November the 13, 1998, Semanggi tragedy, the first occurs. In November 1998, the transitional government of Indonesia held a special session to determine the next election and discuss the agenda of the government. Students protested in rallies because they did not recognize the government of Baharudin Yusuf Habibie and did not trust the legislatives, that is the House of Representatives and People Consultative Assembly of the new order. They also urged to remove the military from politics and government to clean up of the new order. People and students' movements rejected the People's Consultative Assembly's special session of 1998. They also against the dual function of the military. Throughout the holding of the special session, people joined the students every day in mass demonstration in the streets of Jakarta and other major cities in Indonesia. This protest led to the deaths of 17 civilians. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Spotlight of the Week, titled The 14th Economic Policy Package Launch. The government has encouraged the birth of new businesses through the National E-commerce System Roadmap in 2016 until 2019. The roadmap is outlined in the 14th policy packages that include touching and the funding scheme for startup businesses. The policy package was launched to expand and improve people's economic activities. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution in Jakarta on Thursday, November the 10th, said it also meant to encourage the birth of innovation among young people engaged in the world of digital business. The roadmap, he said, is expected to ease them doing business in the desired field. There are 8 essential aspects policies meet in the 14th policy packages, namely financing, taxation, consumer protection, education and human resources, logistics, communication, infrastructure, cybersecurity, and the establishment of executive management. Darmin Nasution expects specific policy packages can be a guide to the government and all stakeholders to develop a digital business. Meanwhile, Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara explained there are 12 ministries involved in preparing rules to support the 14th policy packages. If all stages are done consistently and supported by all ministries and state agencies, the transaction value of the digital business in 2020 is expected to reach $130 billion. Involving government is also involving Financial Services Authority, Bank Indonesia, and digital businesses through Digital Business Association or E-commerce Association, IDEA. Important issues in this package include the access to funding startup businesses. According to Rudiantara, startup businesses cannot follow the conventional loan scheme because they have not had a stable income. Therefore, the government is preparing its policy that will not incriminate them. The scheme prepared, among others, through microcredit for platform development, grants for business incubators, and Universal Service Obligation Fund, USO, for digital micro, small, and medium and startup businesses. Related to taxation, the government has set up incentives through tax breaks for local investors who are also startup entrepreneurs. Permits and taxation procedures for startups businesses with turnover under 4.8 billion rupiah per year will be simplified. On the same occasion, the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said digital business potential in Indonesia is very large. Currently, Indonesia is one of the largest internet users in the world, as many as 93.4 million people, while gadget users in Indonesia reach 71 million people. That was Spotlight of the Week. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here is news in brief. President Jokowi promises to build inward infrastructure. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said while Indonesia has been focusing on physical infrastructure, the government will also work towards ensuring that the citizenry is mentally and emotionally strong. President Jokowi reminds majority to protect minority. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that the majority community in Indonesia should protect minority groups while the minority groups should respect the majority groups. Prime Minister Lee Jokowi to meet on Monday at Leaders' Retreat. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong arrives in Indonesia on Sunday for his first Leaders' Retreat with President Joko Widodo, where they will discuss furthering economic collaborations between the two countries. President Jokowi hopes there will be no rally on November 25th. President Joko Widodo expects that there will be no rally on November 25th against the alleged case of blasphemy involving the Jakarta governor, as it will only amount to waste of energy. Indonesia-China agreed to curb tourism industry players. Tourism Ministry and the National Tourism Administration of China have agreed to curb the tourism industry players, which are not provisional and prove harm to the tourist. Soekarno-Hatta Airport immigration debars two American women. Immigration personnel at the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport debarred two Moroccan women identified as FZE, 22 years old, and SEM, 21 years old, from entering Indonesia on Saturday, 12 November. That was news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture, and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to Pisang Island in Lampung Province, Sumatra. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Pisang Island, which is located on the west coast of Lampung, is a relatively new tourist spot. Yet, directly facing the Indian Ocean, its natural conditions are fairly exotic. The size of Pisang Island is approximately 200 hectares. However, not too many people know about the beauty and life that exists in this Pisang Island. The distance from Bandar Lampung, the capital of Lampung Province, to Pisang Island is about 250 kilometers. To reach Pisang Island, you can rent a car from Bandar Lampung, then head to Tembakak Beach, where you can rent a boat to continue your trip to Pisang Island, which takes about 15 minutes. You can leave your car in a nearby village. But if you go through Krui city or town, and arrive in the evening, you should rest first in the town because the boat to cross to Pisang Island from here only operate until 2 p.m. Arriving on the island, you will see houses built on stilts like stages. Strolling around the island, you can see children fishing on the pier. Tourists visiting Pisang Island can have various activities on the beach like surfing, sunbathing, fishing, photo hunting, and so on. By walking through 8 villages which spread across the island, you will see a very beautiful scenery and the friendliness of its people that makes you want to linger on Pisang Island. Pisang Island has a fine white sandy beach and the sea is still clear. The beautiful landscape will provide tranquility for busy travelers who want to find some getaway. If you are from Jakarta, traveling to Krui by land takes about 15 hours. You can also fly from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in East Java, which takes just about 1 hour. Then from Krui, followed by motorboat to Pisang Island, which also takes about 1 hour. Pisang Island indeed deserves to be featured as a tourist destination in Lampung because the waves on the beach are relatively high. At about 5 to 7 meters, even in certain months, it can reach 12 meters. That's what foreign tourists like most. They would come in the morning and spend time surfing or swimming in the depth of the ocean. If you are tired after swimming or surfing, you can rent a catamaran boat to see the dolphins. This is because Pisang Island is located at the Indian Ocean and has become a nesting place for the cute and adorable dolphins or mammals. To see the dolphins, you must come in the morning, around 7 to 10. Armed with an iron bar, fishermen would bang on the boat's stern. Then soon, there come the dolphins jumping up and down beautifully. It is an amazing sight. There is no restaurant or food stall in the island. Tourists can take home the fish from fishing or buy from fishermen, but some prefer to roast the fish off the coast while enjoying the scenic beauty of Pisang Island. Well, that ends this edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Pisang Island in Lampung Province. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye now!
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today's edition will talk about the festival Ngopi 10 Ewu or 10,000 Coffee Drinking Festival. Stay tuned. As an indigenous community people of Using in the traditional village of Kemiran, Banyuwangi, East Java, have traditional culture and tradition which are still maintained until now. One of them is the tradition of drinking kopi together. Using kopi is a special kopi known to have a delicious flavor. The kopi drinking habit is supported by the position of Kemiran village which is surrounded by kopi plantations. To preserve this tradition, the 10,000 Coffee Drinking Festival was held on 5th November 2016, presenting 10,000 cups of coffee to Kemiran village visitors. Acting head of Culture and Tourism Banyuwangi, Emie Bramuda, said that the festival was themed Sak Corot Dadi Saduluran, which means that one brew makes all like family. This is a term commonly used by the Using Kemirin village in their kawi drinking tradition. Thousands of cups of kawi were jointly served by every home along with the main road of Kemirin village, which extends to 1.5 kilometers long. Kawi aroma coming from the 10,000 cups created a warm atmosphere in the village located at the foot of Mount Ijen. Visitors were not only invited to enjoy the kawi, but also given the opportunity to follow the treatment process or just brew the kawi. Pramuda said the kawi habits of Kemirin villagers inspired the local government to hold a regular festival, which commenced 4 years ago. Drinking kawi is a means to strengthen the relationship of Using in the community, well known for their hospitality and eloquence. Bramuda added that the festival was meant to promote Banyuwangi's kawi as well as to introduce the tradition of drinking kawi in the Using community of Kemirin village. Some areas around the foot of Mount Ijen are known as kawi producing regions. A few months ago was a kawi picking festival was also held in Gombeng Sari village, Kalipuro, Banyuwangi. The festival was packaged nicely, held at night so that the porch of each villager's house became an instant living room. Chairs and kawi tables were brought out of the house and the kawi was served with typical Banyuwangi snacks like lemben, boiled banana, serabi, lanun, lapis, rengginang, various chips, and glutinous rice. Kawi at the festival were served in cups with the same shapes and motifs. Bramuda said that everyone could sit in anyone's courtyard and taste the kawi. In this festival, visitors can also see the exhibition of various kawi products from Banyuwangi, including kawi from Lerek Gombeng Sari, Jarang Goyang Kawi, and Utek Banjar Kawi. In addition, there were also a variety of activities held such as cupping session or the art sniffing, sipping, and gulping kawi. That was Miscellany Today featuring Festival Ngopi 10.000. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are a knowledge. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, today I'm Rahma would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Koji Hideshima in Japan. Koji Hideshima listened to our broadcast in Japanese language. In his email, Mr. Koji Hideshima said he could enjoy our program very well. He hopes our Japanese broadcast continues forever. Hello, Mr. Koji Hideshima. Thank you for attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really glad because you can enjoy our program. As information, we have broadcast Japanese language since 1978 until now. To inform your impression and opinion, please send to our email voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Your criticism and suggestion can become input for our broadcast improvement. Well, Mr. Koji Hideshima, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Listener, wherever you are, now we'll play a beautiful song special for you. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Amir Manzoor in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Amir Manzoor. Thank you for your email dated September 9, 2016. Thank you for your wish to us. We also wish may Allah blessings be with you today, tomorrow, and always. And you can monitor our radio every day. Please always stay with us and give your reception report. Well, Mr. Amir Manzoor, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you.
yang tertulis untukku adalah yang terbaik untukmu. Kan ku jadikan kau kenangan yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun takkan mudah bagiku meninggalkan jejak.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday with me, Rahma. Now we continue to reply a comment from Pavel Zuravlev in Russia. Mr. Pavel Zuravlev was listening to our broadcast in German and Spanish language through a frequency of 9530 kHz on the 21st of August 2016 at 17:50 to 18:26 UTC. Hello, Mr. Pavel Zuravlev. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast. As information, we broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz and audio streaming www.voi.co.id. So if you are tuned in 9530, there is interference from another radio. As your request, we will send you our QSL card as soon as possible. Please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Pavel Zuravlev, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we play a beautiful song now. So happy listening. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan page. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again. Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com. voi.english@gmail.com. Or to english@voi.co.id. english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Rahma, thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Aku adalah lelaki yang tak pernah lelah mencari wanita. Aku adalah lelaki yang selalu gundah menunggu wanita.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.